Lost in some of the details of the release of that executive summary on U.S. torture practices is the notion of actual prosecutions. Did people like former CIA Director Michael Hayden commit crimes, and will they be held accountable in court? Will those torture practices be understood as criminal acts from here on out? The Obama administration has apparently made the decision not to prosecute Bush administration officials, but our next guest says there's still a way to identify CIA tactics as crimes. Pardon officials identified in the Senate report. Anthony Romero, the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union, says that formally pardoning at least recognizes crimes without putting people behind bars, and it draws a legal line in the sand. Anthony Romero, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me, John.
So who would you recommend pardoning, and for what at this point?
Well, let's first start with the most important question. What do we do now with this report? Where do we go from here? And it seems to me that unless we take up this question of accountability for torture, we're really not doing the report its service. We need to either prosecute these individuals, and if the president doesn't show the willingness or the appetite to prosecute them, then he ought to formally pardon them. But this limbo we're in of this tacit pardon that crimes occurred but no one is a criminal is just simply untenable in the face of the Feinstein report, which is damning about the extent to which crimes were indeed committed by criminals who are still out and loose.
Well, let's take the case of CIA Director Michael Hayden as an example here, just as a hypothetical. Could the president pardon him for perjury? And in that case, could he appeal the pardon?
You know, part of the reason why I want to throw out this idea of these preemptive pardons is that, you know, once you pardon them, you've labeled them a criminal and you've pardoned them for the crimes. So what Hayden thinks after being pardoned doesn't really matter very much. He's been emblazoned with the scarlet letter C for criminal, for having lied to Congress, for having misled the intelligence committees, for having authorized the torture that happened under his watch. And whether he likes it or not, he's a criminal who's been pardoned. And that's part of the reason why we want to force this question. It is not tenable right now for the Obama administration to mumble this line saying that crimes occurred, torture happened, but oops, no one's responsible for that, and no one's held accountable for it. That's just not tenable. You don't allow crimes to happen and not hold the criminals accountable. So either you formally pardon them, or you prosecute them. That's the choice.
As a legal matter, though, if you just pardon Michael Hayden for perjury or for these tactics specifically, is the lack of due process, at least in theory there, does that come directly from the universal, the extraordinary powers that the president has to pardon?
Exactly.
There's almost no restriction on it.
There's almost no restriction on it. I mean, the president can pardon anyone he wishes. You can do the preemptive pardons. You could do the en masse pardons like Jimmy Carter did with the draft dodgers. Abraham Lincoln pardoned the Confederate soldiers who fought in the war. Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon, as we all know, for all crimes he may have committed in his office. The question here is, what do we do to hold these government officials accountable? And a report that talks about the fact that torture happened, that the CIA misled the Congress, that the public was misled, that the brutal nature, I mean, when you listen to the Feinstein report like I was doing before, and you hear her talk in pretty shrill tones about the gruesome and extensive nature of these torture programs, we have to ask ourselves a question. If we're a nation of laws, and if our nation is one that believes in rule of law, then what are we going to do about these crimes? You can't but just believe that they just happened and that was just a sad moment in American history. People broke the law. So what are we going to do about it? Either we prosecute them or we pardon them for those crimes.
Well,
and the president can't sit on the fence.
Let's take your Nixon example. If we are going to do something about it and set into the record that this can't be done and that to do it would be a crime going forward, we're going to have to do something more specific than what Ford did to Nixon, because some of the abuses of Nixon continued after that pardon. They're going to have to sit down and specifically say, not simply, you're pardoned, Mr. So-and-so, but you're pardoned for this, this, and this.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to lay it out. And I think part of there's no easy or perfect solution to this. But right now it's just untenable. We have Tenet, we have Bush, we have Cheney saying these weren't crimes. We stand behind what happened. That the Senate Intelligence Committee has got it wrong. That is an untenable situation, because in 20 years, when you have the George Bush's grandson in office, who believes he can resurrect the enhanced interrogation techniques and torture an individual that's in their custody, unless you put a very clear end to this torture story, it will always come back like a vampire from the dead. You've got to stab it through the heart and say torture is illegal, it is unlawful. If you commit or authorize torture, you will be held accountable, because we do see it as a crime. And I think part of what we're frustrated with is that for over 10 years, we've been talking about the importance of prosecuting. I remember sitting in the back row of the Alberto Gonzalez confirmation hearing thinking, we've got to call for prosecutions. And for 10 years, we've been hitting that drum. And the president has has completely dodged the issue. Crimes happen, but no one's held accountable. Well, now we're trying to force him off the fence. Pick a side. Prosecute him and jump on this side of the fence, or pardon them and jump off on that side of the fence. But don't sit on the fence and say that torture happened and there's nothing we can do to ensure accountability. That's just untenable. The idea that we can sweep it under the rug, that we can say it's an unfortunate moment in American history and not do anything about those who perpetrated the crimes, it really does our nation a disservice. And there were men and women in the armed services and in the CIA who refused to engage in the torture. Those are the true patriots. And by letting off the criminals who authorized and perpetrated the torture and treating them as if they did their job in the line of duty as we wanted them to, does a disservice for those great men and women who are actually trying to uphold the law and ensure the nation's security. And that's where I say that this limbo that we're in and the defense that the president has sat on for the last six, seven years is just untenable. Jump off one side or the other. Prosecute or pardon.
Anthony Romero is executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union on what might be a legal lesson and legacy of the U.S. reaction to the terror attacks of 2001. Anthony Romero, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, John. I appreciate it.
This country doesn't torture. We're not going to torture. We will interrogate people we pick up off the battlefield to determine whether or not they've got information that'll be helpful to protect the country.
I do not agree with the use of the word torture.
The only defense against terrorism is offense.
We also have to work, though, sort of the dark side, if you will. We've got to spend time in the shadows and in the intelligence world. A lot of what needs to be done here will have to be done quietly, without any discussion.
In the immediate aftermath of 9/11, we did some things that were wrong.
Most of us didn't know what waterboarding was when we began this.
Everybody needs to know what happened and why it happened.
It appeared we turned a blind eye in many cases.
We tortured some folks.
The president believes that on principle, it's important to release that report.
We practice torture and do things that diminish and even harm the image of the United States and motivate our enemies, then it could have profound consequences in the future.
We did some things that were contrary to our values.
This nation should never again engage in these tactics.
One chapter closes, another one opens. America's secrets, disclosed mistakes, and public attempts to redeem the missteps in the war on terror. Be a part of this conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE, facebook.com/thetakeaway, or at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.